This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. 9 little girls under the age of 12 were killed by a landmine explosion in Afghanistan earlier this week, and 2 of their friends were wounded. They were collecting firewood to help their families ward off the winter cold. Though their loss is a devastating tragedy, these girls are just part of an alarming statistic. Some 60 people every day are maimed or killed by landmines or explosive remnants of war in Afghanistan every month. I spoke to Firoz Alizada, campaign manager for the Geneva-based International Campaign to Ban Landmines, about the killing fields of Afghanistan. An Afghani himself, Firoz knows all about the horrors of landmines. As a child, he dreamt of becoming a policeman or a pilot, a dream suddenly shattered when he lost both of his legs to a landmine. In order to receive treatment and proper care, he had to leave his family, his friends, his village. The rough terrain there meant he could never go back to live his life with them in a wheelchair or with artificial limbs. But Firoz considers himself one of the lucky ones. He was able to receive treatment and a pair of new legs from the International Committee of the Red Cross. He got an education and this job. So many in remote areas of Afghanistan are not so lucky. Ever since that fateful day in 1996, he has been determined to support his fellow victims and campaign for the day when these deadly ordinances will become only a nightmare of the past.
There is an average of 60 people get killed, injured by landmines and explosive remnants of war each month in Afghanistan. And it has been a huge problem in over the past decade, and it is a big problem. It's not only threatening the children to go to school or the farmers to use their land. It's also hampering the development of the country. For example, like 3, 4, or 5 years ago, the Kabul airport was contaminated by landmines, and they could not use some parts of the airport because it was contaminated by landmines. Yeah. So far, I think in Afghanistan they have managed the mine action operators managed to get rid of landmines in about 60% of the land that were contaminated. So we've got still 40% of the land that's contaminated to be cleared. It's a big problem. A country like Afghanistan has spent around $100 million each year to tackle this problem. Of course, the money comes from the international community, but this there wasn't landmine, this money would have been used for hospital, school, and clinics. It's a huge amount of money. The casualties is very high. It's the highest, actually, in the world. Then the casualty among children is about over 40%, which is, again, the highest in the world. Yes, Afghanistan is really in danger of landmines and explosive remnants of war, including anti-vehicle mine and anti-tank mine. Recently, there has been also a lot of what we call it IEDs, the roadside bombs. Some of them are like landmine because they're victim activated. When somebody touches it or step on it, then it goes off and it kills people. There has been a lot of casualties by that kind of landmines as well. It is truly a man-made problem, and it's a tragedy.
The landmine which killed the 9 girls this week in Afghanistan, Firoz says, was from the 9-year Soviet war that began in late December 1979.
That's an example of how resistant these mines are, that they wait for 30, 40 years until somebody really in a step or get killed on it.
Firoz explains that there are some 60,000 landmine survivors in Afghanistan today.
They estimated that there are over 60,000 landmine survivors in Afghanistan. I'm one of them, but there are more. And unfortunately, most of or some of them do not survive, do not get the medical support, the first aid and rehabilitation to survive. So many of the people that have hit landmines, they passed away. I have worked in Afghanistan until 2008. What I was doing is, you know, supporting my fellow survivors and landmine victims. Yes, I'm really aware of how difficult it is for all people with disability, in particular for landmine survivors, because of the special trauma that comes right after the landmine accidents or ER, on explosive remnants of war accidents. It's just a tragedy for landmine survivors and people with disabilities and their families to cope with their lives and to survive and to go back to school, to go back to get a job, to work. It's just so hard.
But the government, he says, can do more.
And the government has not done much. It's not considered supporting the landmine victims or class termination victims are not considered as a national priority, which is a pity. And there has been some improvement recently, but not enough in comparison to the extreme needs of landmine survivors and their family members. Landmine changed totally my life. I was in school when I lost my legs and I had to quit my village because it wasn't accessible for me to live there anymore. I ended up to use wheelchair in for a few months and then I got a prosthesis, but still I couldn't go back to my village because it's very physically it's not adapted for me to live there. So I had to, you know, I had to quit my friends and even my family for a number of years. And then my family had to leave all that place and come to join me. I couldn't achieve what I was dreaming in my childhood. I wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to be a pilot. Things that I could not do after I lost my legs. But I am one of the luckiest person among survivors because I could overcome some of the challenges and I could continue my education and finally get a job and do what I'm really, you know, I dream to do is to campaign against landmine to avoid more people get killed by this indiscriminate weapon.
Firoz hopes recent Afghan government discussions on the landmine issue will result in effective measures.
My story is probably a unique story among, you know, survivors, but I know that there are thousands of survivors that they are suffering every day in every moment. The simple thing is having a crutch, a wheelchair, that some of the survivors in Afghanistan, especially in remote areas, not only in Afghanistan, I work in my position as campaign manager for ICBL. I work with about 30-35 mine-affected countries that have a lot of landmine survivors. And in most cases, landmine survivors are really in bad situation comparing to other citizens of these countries, either because there is no rehabilitation services or there is no system to respond to their special needs, or they are discriminated to get back to school or get a job or you know, even to reintegrate with the society. So it is a tough reality that many of my fellows are facing around the world.
It does sound like you are one of the lucky ones, like you said. But what assistance really is available to people in your country to help them, for example, get a prosthesis, limbs to replace the legs or the arms they've lost? And are there organizations which are able to meet the needs of these so many thousands of victims?
Yes, there are a number of organizations like the ICRC, like the Handicam International or Swedish Committee for Afghanistan, or a number of other NGOs, Afghan Landmine Survivors Organizations, and there are plenty of other NGOs that are providing different type of services. And thanks to these organizations, including ICRC, that have been providing, you know, vital support, I like to say to many of the survivors and other people with disabilities. Personally, I received my first, second, and even third prosthesis from the ICRC in Kabul. And especially in 1996, because it was during the Taliban regime, and there was nothing by government provided to people like me. But there were organizations like ICRC and others who were providing support and vital support to people who have lost limbs or who were traumatized and who were in need of support. These organizations are still functioning in Afghanistan, also in many other countries, but they only, you know, cover part of the need. They are not all over Afghanistan. They are not in all remote provinces and villages, in landmine affected areas, communities. So there are much more to be done, but for now there are some efforts by government at the level of policy, coordination, meetings, things like that, that I hope at some point it will end up to some practical and effective support to those who live in remote areas, in villages.
Firoz Alizada, chief campaigner for the Geneva-based International Campaign to Ban Landmines. And I'm Tracy McClure.